We have a quorum. And Representative Dale moves approval of the minutes. And any additions or corrections? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. We have our first bill up, 2353. House File 2353. Representative Tinglestead moves that House File 2353 be recommended to pass and laid over for inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Tinglestead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today I'm with the House File 2353. It's a Department of Natural Resources initiative, and it relates to facility management. In fact, in your packet is a fact sheet that gives a good overview of this bill. Basically, the proposal does two things. Number one, it establishes a way to fund a long-term investment strategy, and two, it links ownership of a facility not only to the acquisition costs, but also to the continuing costs of occupancy, maintenance, and disposal. Today I have with me Mark Wallace from DNR to talk about what this legislation does. And I've had the pleasure of knowing Mr. Wallace for a couple of years here at the legislature through some work I've done in capital investment and K-12 school building maintenance. And he's really known as a leader not only in our state but around the country in issues regarding building maintenance and building sustainability issues. So I was happy to see this legislation come forward to look at some of the issues that address our building maintenance issues here in the state. Specifically, this proposal relates to facilities through DNR. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Wallace.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, I'm Mark Wallace from the Department of Natural Resources, Facilities and Operations Support Bureau. I want to express my appreciation to Representative Tinglestead for authoring this bill. I think it's an important piece. The idea is to change the way the DNR does business around maintaining facilities. Right now, there are allocations from general fund and game and fish funds that are appropriated to the DNR to the Facilities and Operations Support Bureau to maintain buildings. That's a static fund. It stays in the same place for years, and we expend it against facilities maintenance statewide for all divisions. How this changes business is that it establishes an account that can be directly indexed to the inventory of buildings that the department has, and as that inventory changes based on changes in program, the index would change so that the costs that accrue to the department or a division by making decisions about facilities would cause a change then in the costs assessed to the divisions. It's intended to, in the long term, protect the investment that the state makes in facilities and allow for a reasonable amount of maintenance money to follow the decisions the department makes about building and investing in facilities. So when the legislature makes a decision to bond, to build, and to add to the physical plant that the DNR uses to do its work, it would follow that direct expenses of providing those facilities for employees to work out of or for the public to use would track those decisions, and money would be available to maintain them in the long term. So the reference in the fact sheet about a long-term investment strategy, it is a long-term strategy to protect investments that you decide to make from this body. I think the second point is around accountability and fund integrity. The idea is to create a direct link between the decisions that the legislature and divisions in the department make about building facilities and so that decisions are made to cost track, and that when a decision is made to build a building and use a building, that the divisions make decisions about what money they will use to pay for those costs. And it would be up to them to assure that is money appropriated for that purpose is used. That would be about the extent of my comments. If you have any questions, I would stand for those.
Representative Pence.
I think, Mr. Chair. Is there a... I see that the funding sources are general fund, game and fish fund, natural resources fund. Are there exact amounts that you can take out of, like, the game and fish and the natural resource fund now? Is there a certain percentage, or is it flexible?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pettis, what we do is we allocate the money that we get based on the inventory. So right now, facilities that are used by divisions that are generally game and fish are about one-third of the inventory. So we allocate one-third of the cost that we of the money that we have for that from the game and fish fund. Two-thirds are general fund, and right now a very small amount of natural resources fund money is allocated to do this sort of work. Generally, it's around some engineering services for water accesses and those kinds of things.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to follow up on Representative Pennis's question, will this take money away from, I know it will come from the Game and Fish Fund, but will this take money away from money that's spent in the field to make more fish and things like that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, it's the general answer is it won't take more, but it will redistribute what we use now. And then as decisions are made from this point on, the money would track based on the expenses. And it's my assumption that if a division makes a determination that they need an extra storage building or another office and that sort of thing, that's money they need in order to get the work done in the field as opposed to taking away from it. I think we have to consider facilities generally to be a capital asset, and it's used for to support the productive work of employees. So it's a tool of productivity.
Thank you.
Other questions? Mr. Reynolds.
Mr. Chairman, one piece of information I think would be important for the committee is to know how many dollars are we talking about. In your handout here, it says money currently spent on this activity in what is FOS will not be requested any longer, but it will be requested in the program budgets. What is that dollar amount?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Reynolds, that dollar amount right now is about $2.2 million.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm wondering why, as chair of the committee, I haven't been given a briefing on this. This seems to be a major change of activities, and to have this just sprung on me right now is.
Mr. Chair, all I can do is apologize. I think this is.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to apologize too, but this is something that just has come together the last few weeks here, and I see it as a good management of our facilities. And, you know, as we talk about capital investment projects this year in bonding, I think an issue like this is really, you know, wise decision making for the future.
But Representative Tingle said that all may be true, but I'd at least like to provide some guidance for my committee and to not have a clue as to what really is happening here. Your explanation is a great one, but I'm still confused as to what it is we're changing from and going to and for why, and what type of decision-making that we will be doing in the future versus what type of practice we've had in the past, how this is going to change that. And I feel like I'm back in the minority again, figuring out what's going on. I've been there for years. That's where you get things sprung on you, but yeah.
Mr. Chair, I think that was part of the reason, too, why we laid this over for future consideration.
Okay. Any other questions? The department needs to do a better job of briefing the committee on their bills.
Yes, sir.
House File Any other questions, members? Any testimony from the audience? Okay, House File 2353 is laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let's see if we include it. See, the next House File 2360, Representative Walls. Welcome to the committee. I understand there's was a change of author on this. Representative Walls, you're now the chief author on this.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. When this was originally two bills that were heard in the Environment Policy Committee. It was the DNR State Park Boundary Bill, which I was chief author on, and then there was a State Park Technical Bill that Representative Pennis was chief author on. They were amended into one bill, and I am chief author of it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, there is an amendment to this bill. It's the A1 amendment.
Okay. The there's a amendment to 2360A1. This bill has already been heard in Policy Committee.
That is correct. The two bills, the two original bills, were both heard in Policy Committee.
Okay. We will. If you give us an explanation of the amendment, then.
Mr. Chairman, I have with me today Ms. Pat Arndt from the DNR, and she brought the amendment to me this morning and talked to me a little bit. I'd like to refer to her, if I could, Mr. Chairman, to explain the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, Pat Arndt with the DNR Division of Parks and Recreation. We had put the entire bill together for this session, and a couple of weeks ago, a family estate from someone who had passed away last fall came to us and asked if their family's land could be added into our statutory boundary bill. And this piece of land that we would be adding would be at Pettigooch State Park, and it's about 7.5 acres, and it's 425 feet of shoreline. And we have talked to the legislators who have this particular amendment in their district, and we've also cleared this with the Lake County Board, and they are okay with amendments. Mr. Chair, I also have a fact sheet on the amendment. If you would like the committee to have handouts on the fact sheet,
okay.
It would just give you a visual of the area that we're talking about.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment represents what we discussed. Representative Wolf.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, yes, it does.
And that would be the land along 61 that we discussed in my office, and not including that gap we talked about between the MnDOT property and this piece of property.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bill, that's correct. What this would do is further our efforts to try to connect the Palisade Head portion of Pettigooch State Park with the main body of the state park, and there will still be, you're correct, a gap in there. It's about 15 acres right now, and we would be adding another approximately 9.5 acres with this amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
The county, Mr. Chairman, and is the county and the township, or the county, yes, the county has agreed to this and is in concert with you folks on this.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, yes, we have checked this out with the county, and members are okay with it.
Last question. Chairman, thank you. And I'd encourage you to try and get that last piece. Mm-hmm. I don't think those people are willing sellers yet, but be prepared that when they're willing, we're ready.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, we will do our best to try to connect that all up along the shoreline. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll move House File 2360. Be recommended to pass and laid over for inclusion in the omnibus bill. I'll move Amendment 2360A1. Any questions on the amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Bill is amended. the rest of the explanation on the rest of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I will again refer to Kent Art. He's very knowledgeable in this and will do a much better job explaining the technical parts of this bill than I can.
Mr. Chairman, members, the state park boundary bill portion of this bill adds land to 11 state parks and recreation areas, and it's approximately 1,300 acres. We currently have about 260,000 acres inside of the statutory boundary of our state park system, which is about less than half of 1% of the land base in the state. And of that 260,000 acres, we own about 225,000 acres. For all of the parcels that are in the bill, we have checked with all of the local units of government, whether it's county boards, township boards, and they are all okay with this. In some cases, we have letters of resolution in support of these additions. And then we have also talked with all of the private landowners involved as well. And we have letters from all of the landowners saying that they wish to have their land inside of the statutory boundaries. So that's the boundary bill in a nutshell. If you would like us to go through every parcel, I can certainly do that.
This, does this bill include changes in fees?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's the second portion of the bill, and I can move into the technical portion of the bill if you would like.
Okay, are there any questions on the first portion? Okay, let's go to the second portion. Okay.
The second part of the bill is essentially a housekeeping bill. What it does is kind of cleans up some language. If you recall from the 2001 session, we established the Natural Resources Fund for state parks, the dedicated account. And the main statutes were all changed to coordinate with that, and all of the money moved into that Natural Resources Fund. And since that time, we have found some outliers, if you will, in some other statutes. And so this bill essentially cleans that up. It does not create any new fees or add any new money to the Natural Resources Fund. It also codifies a couple of laws that were passed in previous sessions that were not codified in the statute book. And then it also allows for permit exemptions at Pettigooch State Park and at the Red River State Recreation Area. At Pettigooch State Park, it's just for the Class 1 rest area that we cooperate with MnDOT on, and the parking has always been free. The parking lot we discovered was partially built on DNR land, and so this would allow us to just have that permit exemption for that parking and rest area at Pettigooch State Park. And at Red River State Recreation Area, we're asking for a permit exemption just for the day use portion of that park. That recreation area is right in the heart of the city of East Grand Forks. And the Corps of Engineers has spent substantial amount of money building some parking lots and picnic areas and day use areas. And since it's, people are going to be entering that from their backyards, we felt that it would be best not to have a permit requirement for those portions of the park. The campground area of the Red River State Recreation Area would still require a permit.
Yeah. Questions? Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 6, maybe you can explain what Section 6, Subdivision 6, is all about.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hackbarth, that particular one just codifies a law that was established in the year 2000.
Is that the facilities at Fort Snelling?
Mr. Chairman, no. Yes, that is. Those are the facilities at Fort Snelling State Park, the Upper Bluff area.
President Kahn.
There's some things. How does this relate to the repealer? The repealer of 85.34, the Fort Snelling lease. But there's kind of changes in the language that I don't fully understand.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, essentially what that does is takes the laws of 2000 and will allow us to codify those. And the only change is that they were actually in two different places. One place it said that the revenue should be deposited in the working capital account, and another place it said it should be deposited in the general fund. And we're just asking that it be deposited in the natural resources fund. So it doesn't change anything in the agreement or the dollar amount.
Same kind.
Chairman, well, why don't you explain the repealer then? Explain the repealed statute. Because that doesn't seem to... That looks very different from what you're saying.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, I'm not sure what lines you're referring to.
Well, go to, at the end of the bill, page 16, section 10 is a repealer. And you go to the, then you go to the next page, which prints out the repealer for you, and that repeals a big section dealing with what Snelling leaves. And it seems to have very different language in that repealed section than is in the new section. So I just want to know what's happening.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, I guess I would need to sit down and look at it side by side. Perhaps Mr. Helen can help us with this.
I mean, that two very different things are happening. And this liquor license wasn't law before. Is that something that's just been recodified?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, I know that the intent of the bill was to take exactly what had been agreed to and put it into statute, so I'm not sure exactly what... There shouldn't be anything that has changed in the agreement.
I mean, the words are very, very different. So I just, you know, I'm sitting here reading them. Probably the first time I've seen them because I wasn't on this committee before, paid attention to them, and they're very different to me. So I'm certainly going to suggest unless we get some explanation that this bill be laid over until we have some explanation. And it may just be fine. I just think you ought to know what it says, or someone ought to know what it says.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, this essentially says that the money would be deposited in the working capital account. And we are asking that rather than having the money be deposited in the working capital account, that it be deposited in the natural resources fund, which was the account, the dedicated account that was established in 2001 for fiscal year 2002. But everything else essentially remains the same.
Well, what about, what is the use of the word, now this may be really picky, but on line 31, what is the use of saying a state park account instead of the natural resources account mean?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, where exactly is that in the bill?
It's on page 4, line 31. There's an A State Park account, which changes from the State Park Working Capital account.
Mr. Chairman,
what is A State Park? Does that mean a particular state park? Does it mean all state parks? What?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, we can change that to the state park account. I believe elsewhere in statute, wherever we refer to the Natural Resources Fund, that it says a state park account, but we could certainly change that.
Does it mean a general account, or does it mean a particular state park?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, it means the general state park account, the Natural Resources Fund.
Do the separate state parks have separate accounts?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, no, we do not have a separate account for each of our state parks.
So the proper title for that would then be the state park account. Is there an account for all state parks?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, that's correct, and we can change this to the state park account.
Mr. Chairman, if it would make it more clear, I would offer that as an oral amendment to change on line 31, page 4, the word to the. That would clarify it.
Now,
is that what you want, Representative Kahn?
I guess so, yes.
Representative Kahn moves on page 4, line 31, change A to the.
Okay, then there's a very different... Then
should we move on that?
Okay.
Any questions on that amendment? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is made. Amendment's approved.
Then in the next section, the next thing, lines 32 to 36, and on, and, you know, I guess I kind of like the new direction better, but I guess, again, I want to know the reason why, which is, well, we're talking about money in the account derived from the leasing or operation of the property is annually appropriated for the payment of expenses attributed to it, and then suddenly, instead of this appropriation to the property, it suddenly may be appropriated for the payment of expenses. And I don't know how do these numbers track. I tend to prefer to see discretion rather than the annual appropriation. But it looks as if since this is, you know, this amount that's paid by the Minneapolis Park Board is one of the biggest chunks in the state park account in this issue, I'm a little concerned that we may be diverting money away from the maintenance, you know, the things that are expensive to maintain, like athletic. So I just want to know why is the appropriations language changed in this bill, and what is the intention of the department to do with that money? Is it an intention to just... is there an intention to skimp on the maintenance and leasing and cost of leasing and operation?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, the intent is to put the money back into the upper bluff, and that's why we're asking that the money be tracked separately within the account, so that we can take a look at how much money is coming in, which is in the neighborhood of $125,000 a year, and that money be directed back toward the upper bluff. In the event that at some point we were able to reach lease agreements where there were more money in that account than what we could possibly spend on the upper bluff, it would allow us to spend the money elsewhere in the state park system. But the intent is to focus on the upper bluff with the proceeds.
Okay, I don't, but the language that you're taking out, which said that you had to do that, is made to something that doesn't say you have to do it at all. And I wondered if there's some intermediate. Remember, I agree with the direction of what you're going. I as long as all of the money that's necessary to maintain the property that's being leased is being paid. But, you know, I don't see anything in the new language that requires that to happen. You are still...
Mr. Reinholz, why don't you maybe shed some light?
Kahn, maybe, I mean, I could try to explain what I see going on here a little bit.
Okay.
And it is related back to the when the change was made where the state park receipts were put rather into the general fund with the appropriation, they went into the natural resources fund. While they were still going in the general fund, there were items that were going into special accounts. And this is one of them, the Fort Snelling lease, was being directed into that special account so that the money would then come back for that Fort Snelling use. I think what they're trying to do here, although I have not talked to them about this, it looks to me like what they're trying to do is just eliminate this. They don't need this special account anymore. They now have the natural resources account. Let's put the money into that account, track it, though. And we do track a lot of dollars in. Account is not defined in statute, the term account. Fund is, account is not. Account is used many different ways. They are tracking within the funds many times accounts. I think what they would be doing
is tracking those same dollars, now putting them all into the Natural Resources Fund. I think a significant difference, and I'm not sure what their current policy is, the repealed language is the statutory appropriation. The new language is, says may be appropriated, so it in effect it might, it would become a direct appropriation decided by this the legislature. Whether they may, it would be used for those purposes. Is the way I read it, the money still is intended to be used for the same purposes as it was before, but accounting for them differently, turning what is a statutory into a direct appropriation in that language. I don't see a whole lot of other differences there unless I've missed something that you were questioning. I would like to ask the parts, did I explain what is going on here correctly?
Chairman, Mr. Reinholz, yes, I think you've characterized what we are trying to do with this. And just as kind of a vision of scale here, we are talking about approximately $125,000, and our Natural Resources Fund does usually have about $9 million that we generate in a given year. So it's not a significant portion of that account, but it is our intent, like Mr. Reinholz said, to track this separately and have this money appropriated out for the Upper Bluff area.
Chairman, to make that a little clearer, I think I'd rather strike the may and make that a must, and after appropriated, must be appropriated as necessary. So then add, after appropriated, the two words, as necessary. And I think that then expresses, one, it has to be appropriated, so the legislature has to see, still have to do it. And second, we've just said as necessary, so that if there is an excess, if it's excess, then it's not all needed to then again go to other uses in the Natural Resources Fund. And I think that expresses what they're saying better than the word may.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, maybe I'd ask Mr. Helen his opinion, but I think it could be interpreted to say the legislature must do it. I think may only would be getting at what you are trying to do.
Oh, okay.
It could only be used for that purpose, but still be directly appropriated. So if you said, if you added the word only, I think it might get more clear.
I think may only is actually stronger than must be appropriated as necessary. May only means what I think, and maybe there's some better language, the language that I've suggested, saying first you follow the repealed language, which is that you use it for payment of expenses attributed to the leasing and operation of the property, and then if there's something left over, you, if it's not necessary for that, you can then use it for anything else. You say may only, then it doesn't give you any ability to do it for anything else. Obviously, we're not talking about a lot of money, but you know, the point of the lease was that it was supposed to go into that area, so we ought to follow that.
I think my language describes
what Ms. Arndt said. So I'd like to move that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We have a motion before us. Representative Kahn moves on page 4, line 35. Strike may, insert must, and after appropriated, insert as necessary. Any questions on that amendment? Department's response?
Mr. Chairman, that's fine. That follows the intent of what we were planning to do.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Any other questions you have on the bill? Any further explanation? Okay. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Arndt, can you explain to me, I understand the process for the in-holdings, the desire to purchase those properties within the boundaries. What happens when maybe the department sees the boundary includes a little spot going outside what seems like it would make sense to be part of the park. How do you deal with, can you sell part of the park if it's within the boundary, or can you redefine the boundary if you determine that maybe this park shouldn't be the park, it's not going to work, we're not going to be able to buy the surrounding properties? And then how much parkland has the DNR ever sold in the last couple of years compared to how much we continue to buy?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, I would need to go back and compile some information for you on how much has been sold versus how much we have purchased in the last X number of years. We have generally had some deletions to our state park boundary bill. If you look in your packet at Crosby Manitou, George Crosby Manitou State Park. And if you go to the map relating to George Crosby Manitou State Park and you see the 2001 deletion, that was a significant parcel. I don't have the acreage on that right now, but that was deleted from the boundary. When we look at something that, you know, isn't appropriate, could have some better use, we do look at doing that type of thing. That was actually transferred to our Division of Forestry because we felt that that area could actually be logged, and the intent was that that was a lot more accessible than some of the lands we exchanged for on the interior of the park. So we do look at that at the same time that we're looking at expansion. I know probably about 5 or 6 years ago we deleted some land from Lake Carlos State Park, which is up in the Alexandria Lakes area. There was a development that had come into an area that was within the statutory boundary of the park, and we knew it wouldn't be feasible for us to purchase the homes that had been built in that area.
Yes.
But if you would like an exact accounting of that, I would need to go back and look at the acreages.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Follow up.
Representative McNair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I had brought that question up before when this bill was before us, before a similar parks purchase bill, and asked. So if you could get us the information or if somebody could just let me know. I'm just curious to know. And then where does that money go? If, I mean, the one you alluded to, you just gave to another department, and I understand that's good use of the resources, but I'm curious if we ever actually sell some and put it back in private hand where it doesn't make any sense for us to own it. So if you could just get back to me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, we will do that.
Okay. Any other questions on House File 2360? Any testimony in the audience on House File 2360? Okay. House File 2360 will be laid over for possible inclusion on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
As amended. House File 2597, Mr. Nelson.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill will amend Minnesota Statute 84.026. What this bill does is it allows the DNR to work with smaller conservation clubs in working towards habitat restoration projects. Currently, as you probably know, all grants, unless they're separately specified by state statute, are set up as reimbursements. Therefore, a small conservation club will have to enter into a grant agreement with the DNR. Following then design of the project, contracting the work, and getting the work done, then paying the vendor, then submitting to the DNR for reimbursement. And what that amounts to is small conservation clubs upfronting the money for the state of Minnesota. Oftentimes, this can create a cash flow problem for some of these small clubs. Many, many of these projects are relatively small as far as the state of Minnesota goes, sometimes as low as $20,000. That's not small for small conservation clubs in cash flow terms. This language revision allows the DNR to develop separate grant agreements to give these small organizations opportunity to contract for these small projects. Once they're completed, then to bring the invoice directly to the DNR and request payment for the club, and then the club can pay the contractor. The clubs will be responsible for providing proof that the project was in fact completed, and they also have to provide the original invoice. The bottom line, as I stated a couple of times, is so these small conservation clubs can do some of these habitat restoration projects without having to upfront money for state projects. I have with me Mr. Chairman and members from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Joe Sirkinka, and he might have some other comments.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As he said, my name is Joe Persinka. I'm with the Department of Natural Resources, and administrator of their Office of Management and Budget. What we're trying to do with this modification to language is simply enable us to work with more and smaller conservation organizations throughout the state. Our goal is to continue a process that we've certainly had emphasized by the legislature in the last few sessions of partnering with community organizations.
Okay, I'll move that House File 2597 be recommended pass and laid over for inclusion in the onto this bill. Are there questions on the bill? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sirlink, I'm sorry, would you do it again so I don't miss
Kersinka.
Kersinka, thank you. Can you just run through us what happened with the Minnesota Waterfowl Association and how some of the protection that sounded like Representative Nelson has alluded to would take care of some of those things that happened, but how this bill won't allow what happened there to happen in the future?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative McNamara. What happened with the Minnesota Waterfowl Association is they received a substantial amount of money, a series of grants up front before any work was accomplished. And that amount of this, with all of the grants, totaled up to approximately $300,000. They then ran into some financial problems and were unable to conduct the work, and as a result, you know, we ran into all the different issues and cutting off financial ties. They have at this point, actually, as of just 2 weeks ago, completed the repayment of those dollars to the department, and those dollars have been restored to the proper accounts and actually a number of them reissued to other organizations. What this would prevent from happening is the work would already have to have been accomplished. There would need to be verification from our field staff that the work was completed, and then invoices would be brought in for payment, and so it would be parceled out in much smaller amounts with work already accomplished.
One real quick follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Mr. McNamara.
And so I understand how this deals with the small organizations. Will larger organizations such as DU still be able to, will you be upfront funding them with the understanding they'll be following through, or you've changed that policy?
No, this, what this does is it gives us the flexibility to enter into agreements with small organizations to do this kind of cash flow upfronting, but with the larger organizations, we'll continue to operate on a reimbursement basis where they have the dollars to cash flow themselves, then we will continue to reimburse.
Further clarification, but in the past it was not a reimbursement. I mean, the Minnesota Waterfowl Association, you paid before the work took place. You've alluded to the large organizations, you'll reimburse them.
Right.
Is that you? So you've changed your policy from where it was?
Right. With the majority of times, our policy has been, according to this statute, has been reimbursement. The Minnesota Waterfowl was an anomaly. It was an unusual situation where money was upfronted. We did not do that by our standard. Our standard is reimbursements.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Did that occur because it was we were dealing with LCMR dollars, or what was different? Why did it? How was it going differently?
Those were heritage dollars. Those were lottery and lieu dollars, and it was handled differently.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Is there any testimony from the audience on this House File 2597? Okay, motion reoccurs that House File 2597 be laid over for inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members.
See, we now have House File 2606, Representative Lindgren. Representative Lindgren moves that House File 2606 we recommend to pass and laid over for inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Lindgren.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and members. And House File 2606 is just kind of a house cleaning bill from the MPCA. We allowed them last year to do some consolidation of funds, but there were just some technical errors. So what I will do is I will allow the MPCA to talk directly to that so we do not make another mistake this year. And also I do have an amendment that's being passed on, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Kathy Faith. I'm the budget manager for the Pollution Control Agency. And what this is does is a technical change to clean up language from the fund consolidation last session in the transfer language that changes the language from a fund to account from the transfer for a general fund from the, used to be the Metro Landfill Contingency Fund, is now account within the remediation fund. And what this amendment does is it just cleans up the language to correctly reflect it as an account and not a fund, that since the fund no longer exists.
And you have an amendment that you'd like to...
Yes, it was being passed out by the page. And I'd like to move to amend House File 2606 as follows on page 3 after line 7. To insert Section 3 and as amended as to read on the amendment.
Okay. And what does this amendment do?
Would you...
Mr. Chairman, it just what it is a technical change, mainly accounting change, strictly to change the word funding fund to account since the fund no longer exists. The Metro Landfill Contingency is now an account in the remediation fund, so it's just a technical change.
Mr. Chairman, the way it's drawn up, I guess what they're really doing is crossing out fund and adding account because we did eliminate that fund in the language passed last year and they have created it as an account within, I believe, is it the remediation fund is where it is right now. I'm not sure it's necessary. I think general statute would have allowed that to happen anyway, but it is not changing any of the dollar transfer or anything, so it is technical, I would agree.
The way it's written is a little bit confusing. I assume that this is all existing language in the statute,
Mr. Chairman,
that you're just changing the word fund to account. And that's the word fund has been stricken and the word count has been underlined a little extra dark. The rest of the language that's underlined is already existing in the statute. Could you confirm that?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
That's the format that kind of throws me off. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, Mr. Chairman. That certainly threw me off, too. I have to admire the creativity of this technical amendment because essentially you are foxing out the commissioners of administration and planning and saying just the commissioner of natural resources. So it's clever. Let me ask if the commissioner of natural resources has ever used money from this account to remedy at lines 18 and 19 natural resources resulting from the release of hazardous substances. Is this something that the commissioner has ever done?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McGinnis, this again was a technical error resulting from the bill last session. It never was the responsibility of the Commissioner of Administration. The intent was to just clarify the language that the assessment and recovery of natural resource damages by the agency, that they would also allow for administrative costs, and the wording got switched around incorrectly.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Guineas.
My question was, on lines 18 and 19, has the Commissioner of Natural Resources done any remedying of injuries resulting from the release of hazardous substances?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Guineas, I'd have to have DNR speak to that.
Since we are clarifying that that is the responsibility, I'm just wondering if they have taken that responsibility. That's all.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Joe Krasinka. I'm with the Department of Natural Resources, the Administrator of the Office of Management and Budget. Representative, I do not know the exact answer. What I do know is that our Division of Ecological Services is responsible for this, which has now become the Remediation Fund, and they are in the process of setting up a program to address this. It's going to be done as a grant program to local communities to address issues that were created by landfill.
Representative Wiggins.
I thought that the PCA was in charge of making sure that there were no incidents from landfills and that we had enough remediation, enough observation wells that wasn't going to happen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, this is set up to do restoration projects, I believe, habitat restoration projects, and that's what we're going to be receiving grants from, or receiving requests from local communities that have had landfills to do habitat restoration in those areas.
Representative Wiggins.
I'm reading the okay, the language. To remedy injuries or losses to natural resources resulting from the release of hazardous substances. And so there are hazardous substances that have been released that that have harmed the habitat, not the groundwater, but the habitat?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McGinnis, I'm we're reaching a point I'm feeling as a financial person uncomfortable in talking about what's going on with the program. I can certainly have our director, Lee Van Mueller, contact you and provide the information that you're seeking on this.
It says to remedy injuries or losses to natural resources resulting from a release of a hazardous substance. And I had assumed that in the landfill, because of the landfill program, that there would not be any more releases. And that's where I'm having some problems here. I thought we've had testimony that there are, that we're so far along that there are not releases and that they would have been underground anyway. So I just, it's not making sense to me, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense to you?
I understand your frustration. Do you have additional advice for us? Mr. French?
Chairman, Representative McGinnis,
yes, this really the record,
Nelson French, Legislative Affairs Director of Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. This really is a technical change that was actually identified by Alan Williams at the end of the last session. He called me. We tried to get this in to the conference committee, but it was too late to roll it in. It is a very technical change. What we can do is have Lee Van Mueller and Jim Warner from our office get back to you with the details about how this fits into the program. There is no statutory change here. It was merely a drafting error in last year's fund consolidation bill.
I understand that. My question is, I've now heard that money is going into ecological services, which I love, but it is for cleanup of a release of hazardous substances, and I had assumed that wasn't happening anymore because of our landfill cleanup program. That's my frustration. It's not that this is a technical bill. That's not my frustration. My question is, what releases are... My question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Eugenius, I can't give you the answer right now. My sense is this is a statute that's been in place for many years, and what we can do is offer to get back to you later today with a response on this. My understanding, I would hope, too, that you're correct that these releases are not occurring, and we'll get back to you with information if that's acceptable.
That would be fine, thank you. But for the whole committee, not just me.
Any other questions? You're saying it's a technical, and with the language that went in last year actually dealt with this particular section?
Mr. Chairman, yes, the language did deal with this section, and out of the 50-plus pages of Article 2 in last year's fund consolidation legislation, this was one of those total drafting errors. It was and somehow not caught by us or anyone in the committee as the bill went through. So we apologize for that, and this bill is really designed to remedy that situation.
So what's kind of catching, changing from three commissioners being involved to where it's really only talking about language and putting it on each one commissioner, so it's...
Mr. Chairman, that's correct, and in fact, that the additional commissioners were never involved in this discussion, and questions were raised by them as well after this passed. Okay. It was a total drafting error.
Our drafting was that bad.
Huh? And we apologize.
Did you see that bill? That was a complicated bill.
Okay. House File 2606 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you.
Was there any testimony from audience on it? I didn't see any. Thank you. Did we include this amendment? Did I make a motion on it? Members, we'll reconsider House File 2606 because we do have an amendment I need to attach to it. So I'll move House File 2606, and then I'm also move the amendment that was presented. It says page 3 after line 7. Any questions on that amendment?
Mr. Chair, so I understand it right. There's reference to $10 million there, and it's underlined. The only thing that should have been underlined is the word account three times.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes. And the word fund is deleted three times. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Now House File 2606 be laid over as amended for inclusion in the omnibus bill. Okay. Is there, on the agenda? That takes care of us for today. And Ms. Brick, what do we have for tomorrow? Two House files tomorrow? Why don't you tell us all?
Okay.
What's on tomorrow's agenda?
Two bills, two House files. Representative Hackbarth, 1/4 cent sales tax, and your bill on Horseshoe Bay.
Okay. That shouldn't take us very long. So it should be a quick meeting tomorrow. Okay. And is there, because of that, members, why don't we start tomorrow morning at 8:30 instead of at 8:15? Okay. And we have for you today, we have the bonding bill that we have that we passed out the other day. We have it written up in language draft with the riders already in there. We're also going to be provide a spreadsheet, but I'm having the spreadsheet redone a little bit differently than what was originally presented. So that you'll have it in your hands as to what we actually did, what's in the bill, and what the riders are. We're passing that out for you right now. And anything else? Any other business? Any other questions, members? Okay, we are adjourned.